Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the number one online broadcast network for movie talk, this is the Cosplay Coach. Costume breakdowns and tips and tricks to create your own. And now, the coach yourself, Meredith Placco.
And friends! One day. Hi, everyone. It is time for the Cosplay Coach. If you've been waiting for a whole hour and a half, I'm so sorry. We had some technical difficulties. Mainly, I had to go get pricked on my arms. Not that you can see, but I had an allergy test today, and it ran a little late. And then, now we're here.
Here we are.
Also, there was something else that was super important that happened here in Los Angeles today. It was the second opening of the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes!
For those of you who do live in the East Coast, you know about Dunkin' Donuts, you know it's amazing. Their coffee really is the best. Mm-hmm. And we had to go stand in line. But we are here now to not talk about donuts. We're here to talk about costumes, specifically the women of the DC Universe. But before we get into that, I would like to invite everyone who is watching today to head on over to YouTube and hit that like button. Give us those thumbs up. Let us know that you love us. And if you're watching or listening to us on iTunes, head on over to YouTube, because watching the show is really good because it's super visual. But we also offer links to all of the pictures and images that we have. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, because that really helps us keep coming back to you guys. Those things are super important. And also, we do love hearing from you. So keep on sending your tweets and comments. We do read every single one of them. And don't miss your chance to take our very important listener survey at podcastone.com. Your response will help make us... I'm doing a reader, guys. This is my first reader on the will help make this show the very best it can be. It'll take about 3 minutes of your time, and you'll get that instant gratification that comes with knowing you've helped us out. So you can tell us how you really feel about the show and help us get to know you better. Do it right now, please. It just takes a moment of your time. Head on over to podcastone.com and keep those tweets and comments coming. And in case you need to tweet at us, we're at The Cosplay Coach. And you can find me personally at M Placco.
And you can find me personally at Emma Fife. It's my name.
You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan.
And we have a very special guest with us today, the Miss Chrissy Lynn.
Yay! Hi, guys. I'd speak in backwards, casting a spell, but I don't know how she does it. It's really hard.
Yeah. We'll just, like, play everything you say on reverse. Like, we'll just edit
it. Yeah, exactly. Missy Elliott style.
Done.
Flip it and reverse it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sure flip them and come on. That's all I say.
For those of you who don't know, and you should, Chrissy is a fantastic cosplayer, makeup artist, and hairdresser out here in the Los Angeles market. She has done so many amazing groups, from the Steampunk DC group. You've also been involved in, were you involved in the big Star Wars bunny group?
Yes. Yeah. I was Uala. I was the Green Leku.
Yeah. Nice. Amazing. So much of what she does has been blasted all over the internet. She's also a resident DC Comics costume expert, specifically the Catwoman expert. So we'll be definitely throwing the reins to her a little bit later. But getting things started, this is the Road to Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con is coming up July 9th through the 12th, and we want to get you ready for quite possibly what's the biggest show of the season. All month long, we're going to be featuring some of the most loved characters in pop culture, and today is part two of our Batverse, where we talk all about the ladies of DC Comics. And this is really awesome, because I love comic book costuming. That's kind of my favorite. And one of the cool things about DC is that their costumes are so very different. All the ladies kind of embody, things that, like, spandex or armor or clothing bits, and it's going to give us a lot to talk about. Now, obviously, we're not going to be able to cover everyone in just an hour and a half or 2 hours, but we picked some of our favorites to talk about, and we're going to kind of get into more of the construction side and share with you how we would go about making costumes for these lovely ladies. And don't forget, at the end of the show, we're going to spill in the details of our McCall's Costume Contest Challenge.
Yay!
Super excited about this. Thank you so much, McCall's, for all the support. And we will get to that closer to the end. But first, let's head on over to Gotham City to meet some of the sirens. Now, we know there's no bat without the cat, and Catwoman is quite possibly what I would say is Batman's biggest femme fatale. Mm-hmm.
I would completely agree with that statement.
Was the female counterpart to Batman at the time, and of course inspired by Jean Harlow. It was Bob Kane and Bill Finger's creation in 1940 with issue number one of Batman, which is her first appearance, which is exciting because she's been around since the beginning. Not without, you know, Detective Comics when it was Superman and Batman and all that, but no, it is actually really, really exciting. That she's, well, not that she's gone through 50 different costume changes over the years. If you try to keep up, I mean, more power to you. But yeah, she's probably my number one, always, as you can kind of see here, my plethora of memorabilia. I have my cowl here, I handmade this leather for my DC steampunk Catwoman. And if you're familiar with Reeves effects, he's like the cowl maker, the master cowl maker. I've got his Adam Hughes Catwoman cowl here, and he just recently came out with the red lens goggles, which is the more memorable Adam Hughes actual like look for the art for Catwoman.
Yeah.
It was the suit that we all know today, the most iconic suit, was created by Darwin Cook and Ed Brubaker in 2001, which is what you see post Jim Balance series 93 through 2000 with the super huge boob from the suit, little waist, long black bluish black flowing hair.
Yes.
Butch Rand, that she had that outfit for like 10 years, like, yeah. 9 to 10 years, like a very long time. So I thought for a while, like, oh, we're gonna stick with that, but it's always been a bodysuit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, with the utility belt and the they look like pirate boots to me, but the little pirate boots when I first saw her back in the day. And then of course her iconic whip that she will always have with every single suit, and a cowl. It's probably the best way any feline, you know, fatale can get around Gotham City.
I love, too, how oftentimes they'll... Because I know she's been drawn with a belt, but sometimes they'll use the whip as a belt.
Yes.
And I think that's a really good, like, repurposed fashion accessory / weapon.
Yeah.
It's a good way to functionality and fashion.
It just depends on the penciler at the time.
Yeah.
Jim Lee has his own little version of her, too, and which you guys, if you ever read the huge Hush story arc in 2003, that's one of another notable iconic version of Catwoman, but it just really depends on who's drawing her at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Now, in terms of making the costume, you know, you see her more with this iconic, you can go and buy a latex suit, though I know some of us have latex allergies, so we can't really do that. We love using, we've talked about this tons of times, Quixo's 3052, which is a front zip bodysuit pattern. And if you're a cosplayer, this is, and you've seen people do bodysuits, this is the bodysuit pattern that pretty much all of us use. It's a fantastic pattern. You know, you get all the sizes you need from extra small to extra large in it. And it's really easy. It's just a couple of pieces. And I know a lot of people are kind of intimidated about sewing spandex. And, you know, we're actually going to do a special episode in a couple weeks dedicated to superheroes and spandex. We'll go over some actual, like, techniques on how to sew spandex. And I'll do some videos for everyone. But this, you know, you can go out, you can get this pattern from McCall's now, because they took over Quixo, and it's super awesome because now we can get this at, like, Joann's versus ordering it in specialty shops. And this is, I mean, it really, this is kind of what you need is your basis for any, not just Catwoman, but most superhero suits.
And the thing that's super nice about this pattern, too, and all the Quixo ones, the directions are very easy to follow.
Yeah.
And as Meredith said, it's really not too many pieces, and it also has all kinds of variations on it. It's got turtlenecks and low-cut necks and any kind of bodysuit you can imagine. It's pretty much in this pattern.
Pretty awesome. The one thing it doesn't have is side seams, and I know some people like to draft that. Quixo does have an alternate bodysuit pattern that you can merge the two together if you want.
Nice.
But again, we'll talk about that on the Superheroes and Comics episode. Now, Catwoman, we've seen her in the comics, but we've also seen her in TV.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really made famous by, I would say, Julie Newmar and Lee Merriweather.
Definitely, Julie Newmar was the original face and the Catwoman from the 1966 Adam West series.
Yes.
When the Adam West Batman movie came out, it was Lee Merriweather. And then later on, you see, of course,
you cannot
all
forget
of them, Eartha Kitt and her... That
she brought Eartha Kitt brought to me, the, like, you know, Julie brought class, Lee mm-hmm. brought a little bit of, like, sex appeal, but Eartha just combined everything that mm-hmm. Catwoman should be.
Strong, independent, just, wow. Yeah. All of those things. And that suit is actually based off of one of the actual Catwoman comic suits. If you were to, like, actually Google it, it's a green sparkly suit with a little mask and the same belt. Everything's
oh,
there.
Yeah.
And I'm actually doing that at Kamikaze this year because I've never
oh,
seen it.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, that you bring that up, I have totally seen that
seen
illustration
that? Yeah.
before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, yeah, again, Golden Age, Silver Age, Modern, every, like, she's... If I wanted to, I couldn't try to keep up with all of her conditions.
Now, the fabric that they used in the TV show was something special for the time called Lurex, and it actually had the metallic bits woven into the stretch spandex, and it's a... You know, I've never really seen anything since.
Right.
It was kind of like a material at the time that they just happened to have, and, you know, you can kind of get close with some of your metallic spandex.
Sparkly, kind of painted.
Yeah. But it's and actually more of a woven into the fabric itself, so it's a... I really would like a supply out there to have Lyrics make a comeback.
Please. I know it's archaic, but please.
Yeah, we love our.
It's very Zoe Harriet from Doctor Who too.
Yes,
had the same,
yes,
but just
like
in silver.
Oh,
I want it.
Now with the 66 Catwoman is you saw the Julie Newmar bring those claws into the gloves,
yes.
And we had some really good tips that, you know, you could either just glue some mm-hmm. fake nails.
Chips, first pun.
Take a shot if you're listening. You could just glue some, like, acrylic tips on, but was it Alana? You sent the pictures of the rings.
I'm in love with these. The claw rings. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you can wear them over gloves or by themselves. And they're absolutely phenomenal. They have different ones, and they're all relatively cheap. You can find them on eBay and on Etsy.
And I think we have a picture of those claw rings. Yeah,
they are.
Oh, those are fantastic.
So
and I bet a full set would probably run you like $100
probably less than that.
Some,
I would think. I think
60 or 70.
Yeah, maybe 60 or 70.
Because they sell them individually.
Oh,
so you can
okay.
get them in packs if you want. But sometimes
awesome.
People just want one.
Yeah,
and you can typically
for...
they sell them for about $6 or so.
That's perfect. So
yeah, not bad. And they have them in gold and in silver.
Fantastic.
I like the silver, but if you want to go full fledged Meriwether, then get the gold.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I do notice a lot of cosplayers would get the black ones or make them similar to that for even though she's not really drawn always with them in modern comics.
Yes.
Like they still, it's just like a nice little homage.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a really nice little tip.
Now,
if we're heading over to the films, we can't not talk about Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
And the 1992 Batman Returns costume, which was a PVC, I believe it was PVC, not latex suit, with the large white stitching. It really defined her look for many moviegoers for generations to come, like, especially if you didn't watch the comics. And we have this old Butterick pattern, 6378. That was a
so
licensed Catwoman pattern from the time. And it really is. We determined your mom did not make this.
No, she did.
Okay.
She did make this. I don't believe she made it from this pattern, but she did make me a version of this Catwoman costume.
That's amazing.
When I was about 8 years old, because I just had to have it.
Has she found pictures yet?
No.
Oh,
I told her,
okay.
I was like, Mom, you gotta dig up photos.
But,
oh, you had one as a kid,
oh,
too.
My, my mom didn't make it. She actually bought the licensed costume. And then I went and got I was like 12. I'm like, I want a whip, too, Dad.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Oh my god. Mama Fife, if you're listening, please find that picture where you want to see it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I love it. But yeah, this and you know, this is a costume that I've seen cosplayers even in the last 10 years do their take on it. And you know, really when you're working with PVC, you have to realize that a lot of times so PVC is a plastic, a polyurethane coated to a stretch fabric. So a lot of times the actual PVC over time will lift from the fabric backing, which can be troublesome. And especially if you're sewing, it tends to rip. So if you're going to do this costume out of PVC, you really want to make sure that you get like big wide stitches with a white thread and not sew on seam lines because it will damage the structural integrity of the costume. You know, if you want to go for something that, is a little bit more of a spend some money, get a latex designer to make something because then they can just kind of do those detail stitchings out of latex.
Or
that's just taking it.
Our friend Anissa Patel, the latex to be master.
Yeah.
She does that in latex, and I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah.
I just want to pet.
I was like, if I were going to make a version of this, I would get, I would dig up this pattern and probably make it out of shiny spandex.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like shiny spandex would be the most.
There's nothing wrong with shiny form.
I feel like I try to never work with PVC. I'll work with matte PVC because it's structured differently, but even garment PVC, it's so finicky, and I don't like how it rips.
James B. in the chat has a very good question, actually, about this costume, which is, can you do that stitching outfit with leather?
Yes, you could, but
we'll talk about leather in a little bit. Yeah. I would say avoid it. At all costs, avoid it.
Yeah, the thing is while leather has a little bit of stretch because it is skin,
yes,
it will not stretch the same way as a four-way spandex.
Correct.
So you would have to make a fitted bodysuit,
right.
not a spandex one. You couldn't use one of these patterns.
Not without adding significant seam allowances.
Yeah.
It'll also warp over time.
It will warp over time. Yeah. So it's something that, you could even do the leather corset on top of the bodysuit would be a good option for that. But yeah, I actually wish I'd found, I have a friend who made this costume and I couldn't find her picture before the show.
Aww.
And she did such a great job. And then of course, more recently we have The Dark Knight Rises, Catwoman, which is one of my personal favorites. I know a lot of people didn't like her. I love her, but I also love Anne Hathaway. I can't ever, can't quit her. I was going to wear this, but because of the doctor's visit, I didn't get a chance to change into costume. But I've actually made this, and it was a lot of fun. But in terms of the movie production, we talked a little bit about this last week on the Batman episode. Two layers of material were used, the outer layer being a polyurethane coated spandex that they used a process called dye sublimation on, and it was embossed with a hexagonal pattern. The cat suit then had a spandex underneath part. It consisted of elbow length gloves, a utility boot, and thigh high shoes with spiked heels. And you can see on this close up, you can see that textured fabric, which is super awesome. And like I said last week, there are costume designers, cosplayers can start to get this sort of fabric from now. Yeah. It's still pricey. It's still out of reach. And when I made this costume, I didn't have access to that. So you know what I found was that I got a fishnet bodysuit. So I did a matte stretch PVC. If we go to the next photo, it should actually be one of me in it. I did a matte stretch PVC bodysuit with a just pre-bought fishnet bodysuit underneath.
Of course.
And
dance store, Amazon.com.
And is my photo not there? I guess we'll see. Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll get it.
We'll figure it out.
It's a big deal.
We only have like 75 photos in this episode, guys.
It's a little loaded. And I found that worked really well because with how skin tight the bodysuit was, it did show a lot of the ridges. So that was really cool. On as far as the shoes go, I kind of used an excuse to buy $400 New Rocks. They're not the fact that they have spiked heels and they're really awesome.
Yeah.
Have you worn them since?
Oh God, all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Just making sure.
I'm trying to justify a purchase of some Fry boots by saying I'm going
to
use them for a bombshell backroll costume.
Like two versions of Hathaway is
Catwoman and Devil Wears Prada.
She walks out like she's in the boots, and you're like, yes, I am.
Sorry, you couldn't find the picture. It should have just been the next one in the photo. No, that's a bunny suit pattern. That is not me as Catwoman.
So close. I mean, if you use your imagination, think.
Imagine.
Really
It should have just been the. Oh well, I think my picture got erased.
Lost in translation.
Oh well, Snow. That's unfortunate.
The internet ate it.
Basically, it looks like that. And for the mask, I actually had a really cool friend. You know, there are people who
I see it. Wait, just scroll down.
Oh,
I see
it. Harley Quinn for some reason.
Oh, weird. She did end up in a weird place.
Yeah,
there she is.
Oh, there
she
is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that is awesome.
So thank you. I did.
That's
I did
so good.
Raglan sleeves, which I didn't know that there was a pattern that had raglan sleeves. 272.
Yeah,
I did not have that at my disposal. I made a bodysuit and then drew like a mock-up bodysuit and drew the design on it, and then made that. And then I found a stretch. Kind of elastic, like a coated elastic that I used for the piping design, invisible zipper in the front. And then that mask that we have is actually designed by B3 Leather Designs on Etsy. He's one of my dearest friends. It's such an amazing mask, and it's like retails. He sells it for under $60, and this is a custom leather.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's one of the best things I've ever seen, and while it's not like, it's screen accurate. And I would highly recommend that for any Catwoman costumers wanting to do the Dark Knight Rises, because you could go and there are people who've done the full custom light up movable kits for like $400 to $500. Mm-hmm. But it's beautiful. It's comfortable. Because, you know, when I sweat, my makeup doesn't like, you know, sweat off. I really like it. And then
amazing.
I love it. That's gorgeous. I know. He's so kind. He sent me like three of the different updated ones. Every time he makes a new one, he sends me.
Nice.
And then for the goggles, I ended up buying like the Halloween ones from the deluxe.
Oh, really? Perfect.
They were great. So
I love that for that Catwoman too, that they made her ears.
Yeah,
that flip up visor.
So genius.
Yeah, made me like, and that's just one of those things. Like, you know, we talk about making stuff on our own, but like there are different levels of accuracy, mm-hmm. and I felt for what I was doing, and you guys saw the costume.
Yeah, it looks
that
great.
That level of accuracy works, so you can buy store bought stuff, and it's okay. Like. I know some people are kind of like, oh, you have to make everything yourself. And I'm like,
you do not.
No, you don't.
But I heavily mod too. So if you wanted to get them and just add some your own LEDs to them and really polish them up a bit, do it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a time crunch or on budget.
Everybody in the chat agrees that you look fantastic in that costume, Meredith. Yeah. And also, Golden Witch wants to know, how do you stay comfortable while wearing those high heels during a whole day? You don't.
We all
want to
know that,
so. Lots of ibuprofen. I mean, no, seriously, when I wear those shoes, I'll take about 600 milligrams of ibuprofen in the morning and then hit about 600 midday. And then I probably destroy my liver with a couple cocktails.
Perfect.
Because drinking helps
drinking
everything
helps.
Comfortable. Oh, yeah. So,
that's the point.
And also, this material doesn't breathe because it's a polyurethane coated spandex or material. It has no breathe. Yeah. So imagine that. That was Dragon Con a couple years ago. Atlanta, August, and it was still humid and terrible.
Oh, dear.
Hot Atlanta.
Now, I will talk a little later on, too, about Black Canary, but I have to ask, every time that I wear my Black Canary fishnets with my boots, I always leave the impression on my legs. Was your whole body just...
Completely. I looked like a Christmas ham.
Pictures of that.
I know. But you know the ham when you take it out for Christmas?
Yes!
Yeah, that's what I look like.
I love it.
All right. That's amazing. And then let's head on over to Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
I love Harley. I think you love Harley. Mm-hmm. I think we all kind of love Harley.
She's so cute.
She's so cute. Yes. Thank you, Bruce Timm. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, one of the cool things about Harley Quinn is that she was actually created by Bruce Timm and Paul Dini for Batman the Animated Series. Mm-hmm. She was not in the comics. She was one of the few characters that appeared first in the cartoon and then was brought over.
She was in the comics first, but as a throwaway character.
Yeah.
She was supposed to pop out of a cake, and then they ended up thinking it was funnier to just have the Joker do it himself, so she didn't even make it to the final revision. But they brought her back for the 1992 series, and then we got her first backstory with Mad Love in 1994, a couple years ago. Yeah, that's when we really got her full backstory of her being the Joker's psychiatrist and Harlene Quinzel, who then turned to Harley Quinn.
Yes.
But I love that they thought it was originally too scary for the animated series and was too dark of a storyline.
Really?
But then they ended up bringing it back in 1999, and that's when Harley got to make her animated debut, and they went with the Mad Love storyline, which was amazing. So
really was. Now, and we'll talk, we're actually going to get into the classic costume in a couple weeks when we do superheroes in spandex, but Harley has seen probably some of the most radical costume changes throughout time, in terms of especially how fans respond to the changes in her costume, and we've seen that in video games and in upcoming films, and you know, you're wearing one from Arkham.
This one is from Arkham Asylum,
the first of the Batman.
Yes, and a little bit we have our photo of Margot Robbie looking amazing as our first screen version of Harley Quinn. But there was actually a movie that was supposed to come out as a sequel to Batman and Robin that had the original cast, Alicia Silverstone, Chris O'Donnell, George Clooney. They were all coming back, and that was supposed to be the first version of Harley
Harley Quinn.
Oh my God.
But she was supposed to be the Joker's daughter coming back to avenge him.
Oh boy.
So I'm kind of glad they waited and this is what we have instead.
Yeah. We all make mistakes.
Yay for Margot Robbie. Yeah, and Joel Schumacher, Nick Cage was supposed to be the Scarecrow, so that would have been quite an interesting time. But yeah, the Suicide Squad, people are already cosplaying this version and are super excited about it. But prior to that, most of the cosplay that you would see were from the games, both Arkham City and Arkham Asylum. Mm-hmm. This one is the Nurse Harley, which was also my first foray into using leather. So going back to the question about leather, it's awful. So, yeah, there are different ways that you can make. For this one, I was originally going to make all the pieces out of leather and then did not because made just...
Reasons.
Yeah, the bodice part was very, very difficult. There are a few good things to keep in mind when you are using leather. Number one, cardboard patterns with weights are going to be your best bet because first thing you're going to want to do is check and make sure there are no imperfections on the actual, because it is skin. Yeah. So there may be some pieces. You don't want to make the whole thing and then go, I used the wrong part of the fabric. So check that first and then don't actually, you can't pin leather because it's going to leave holes. So just cardboard and weight and you're good to go. Use a rotary cutter and that is your best bet. If you're already saying, this seems like a lot of unnecessary work, you're right. It is.
It is.
And then also, leather doesn't really crease. So you pretty much have to use double-sided tape to keep those seams pressed on the inside and then cut off all the excess. And you can't use double-sided tape if you're going to sew over it because it's going to mess up your needle. And you'd have to get leather. Well, you don't have to get the leather needle, but you should.
You should. Yeah. You really should.
You definitely should. It's horrible if you don't. But as you can see by the rest of it, I gave up on that. So then just go to like a thin vinyl or like any kind of like really any other material is
pleather.
Better.
Yeah.
Pleather.
Ultra suede you could get away with.
And the only thing too is with that, we have a little bit about grommets because this one is very heavy on the different grommet elements. I lost one of my bracelets and I'm so sad because I'm going to have to redo it. But yeah, you can use the grommets. I think we have some pictures of different ones that you can use. We have the grommet pliers, which is what I used, where it's literally a hand press that is like a set of pliers that you just cue up those grommets, and then you can do either the ones that I did for the back that are the holes that you lace up for an actual corset, or you can stamp over and have, you can see a little bit, the circle ones and then the oval ones to kind of give it some different dimension. Marissa, do we have those photos of the different grommet kits?
Yeah, let me keep that.
Marissa says so, yes.
So we have our grommet pliers, and then those are the ones that I used. I was spoiled because in college when I first made this, I had the foot press industrial grommet machine.
Man. Yeah, that's...
Which is insane, and you feel like you're shooting like a rifle, with the, it's amazing.
That's the business right there.
That's what I used for when I remade and kind of altered a little bit. Also, when you're using leather, since it's so thick, you're probably going to want to use an ice pick and hammer through to get the pre-hole instead
so
of trying to use
scissors. An AWL awl. It works really great for fabric and leather. Though if you are using fabric, make sure you back it with interfacing.
Yes. And then you can also get the grommet kit. I think we have a photo of the next one. This one will run you about $10. Mm-hmm. The next one's about $25. That one is the one that a lot of people use. That's you use a hammer.
Yeah.
The only thing with that is that if you don't line it up directly in the center, it's going to make a wonky grommet and it's going to bend part of it.
Right.
And that's going to make you insane. Yeah. Ask me how I know. And you can also get this lovely thing.
Yay!
I would say
go for
this. It's about $80. This is hand press grommet machine. If you're going to do something with a lot of grommets, if you're planning on doing multiple cosplays, just go ahead and invest.
Work, this is a must.
Go ahead and invest in it. It's the best way to go.
You know, Richard the Thread, Farthingales, and there's a couple, any corset shops online will sell them for really good prices. Mm-hmm. I bet you could probably even find it on Amazon these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say
That one's on Amazon for $75.
Yeah.
Done. Shipping.
Perfect.
So done and done.
We need to do an Amazon partnership program where we put the links out and people buy and we get the kickbacks.
Yeah. Exactly. I like
What's
that.
What's up, Amazon? We know you're listening. We know.
Yeah.
But yeah, real quick before we leave Harley, I think we also have a photo. This was my favorite. I wore this Harley Quinn cosplay
Black Canary.
That's a couple. It's right before the grommets. It's the one with the most awesome assembly of Jokers I have ever seen.
That was at WonderCon this year.
Every single one of them. I know it's all incredible.
Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Look at that. Is that
there we go.
And also somebody cosplaying Russell Brand, who I don't know why
he's
there.
So he told us anyway.
I love it because it looks like The Man Who Laughs, like what the Joker was based off of. That's so fantastic.
Yeah. Wonderful. So this is definitely an easily recognizable one. Yeah. And as far as masks go for this one, there are a few different things you can do. You can either make a latex mask. You can buy them pretty cheaply online. Mm-hmm. There is a great website called gumroad.com/AngelicaArtisan. Hmm. And that one has free mask templates.
Oh, how cool.
Very cool.
Completely free, which are awesome to use. I personally just paint mine on and then... there are a couple different ones. I say just get the Snazaroos. It's the cheapest face paint because I was using my Ben Nye highlight. You go through it like that. Just use the regular cheap Snazaroos, about $6 for individual ones. And then the Ben Nye Bruise and Abrasion color wheel. It's the perfect purple.
Nice.
I couldn't find it anywhere. It's the perfect one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just shade with a little bit of black. Highlight with white, and then you're set.
That's awesome. I know if you want to go for, like, a non-latex silicone mask, Superhero Effects is where I would get a lot of my masks from. And then Reeve, I believe, does. Reeves Effects makes really good stuff. And then also there's some people out in Europe that I like, too. There's just a lot of people out there. We'll have to put other resources out. All right.
Yeah.
So I guess that's...
Well, one last thing. Yeah. I'll pop out real quick just because somebody was talking about shoes.
Yeah.
I tried to make shoes for this one and also gave up because it was horrible and led to a lot of leather and other throwing and anger.
Yeah.
You can just make basically glorified knee socks.
Nice.
I'll pop out so you can see.
Yeah.
Ooh. Those are amazing.
Aww. Yeah, those are
super they're great.
Awesome.
They're stretchy. You may feel like you're cheating, but you're actually winning because you're comfortable.
Exactly.
They're extremely comfortable, and I'm wearing heels now, but I say with these, you can even just get spiked flats, which I've done multiple times.
That's
Then, that way you can pair it with either heels or flats, depending on how you're feeling that day.
So it's just basically a tube with some designs on it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And then just add some buttons and some other fabric to create depth and layer, and then... It's literally just cheap buttons sewed on from a pack.
Perfect.
Good job.
Done and done.
Yes. Now, and you've had this costume for how long now?
Long time.
That's
since
awesome.
I was in college.
It's held up really well.
So,
well,
you can't see the back. But
if you can't see it, you can't judge it.
And then no one
exactly.
knows.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Alana.
Yeah.
Now, heading on over to The Last of the Sirens, we've got Poison Ivy. She first appeared in 1996, created by Robert Kaniger and Sheldon Moldoff, and is kind of the world's most famous eco-terrorist. Wisely, she started as a botanist, but prior to transformation, she happened to be seduced by a professor, who was experimenting with plant toxins, and she became infected. And through that, she just kind of is, you know, evolved. Like, it started where, like, the toxicity caused her to have this, like, dual personality, very Jekyll and Hyde. She was, you know, have these crazy insanity fits, or she'd be really nice one moment and supervillain the next. But we've kind of seen her evolve over the years where she's actually just a very misguided and caring character. She cares more for Flora than people.
Mm-hmm.
Though also her and Harley have had a very interesting and wonderful relationship. It's sometimes a relationship as two girlfriends, but sometimes just best friends. It's been written and hinted at in different ways. But Poison Ivy, you know, again, is just one of the classic Batman villains. And her costume is pretty much always been the same. Leaves and green. And the costume, you know, you'll see some variations where sometimes it'll just be like leaf bra and panty, but most of the time it's a bodysuit. And, you know, you could do a bodysuit like this and use like a swimsuit pattern, which... McCall's has a really great one, 6759 up here. I know.
I just love the image on that pattern.
That's too. Well, I picked this one specifically because if you take the straps off, it's really cool because also the style lines are really neat.
Yeah, they are.
A lot of times with like a bathing suit, unless you have a great body already, it's Skunk. I mean, I'm built like a 12-year-old boy. I can't get away with just wearing a bathing suit like that because it's not going to give me those superhero or villain proportions. So what is really awesome is that cosplayer Jessie Pridemore Rufflebutt, she actually has made a digital pattern that you can buy and download.
Oh, nice.
That is a bunny suit. Awesome. And it's kind of based on the classic Playboy bunny nice. Suit. And it's really awesome. It's, I think, 8 panels in total. It takes some fitting because, you know, because it's a fitted garment, you know, you have to adjust the breast and adjust where it hits on the butt. But I love this. And we've got a picture of Jessie in the bunny suit so you can kind of see what it looks like. That was that added photo. Sorry, Marissa. She'll have to pull it up. It was something we sent to her later. But this is really good, too, because if you wanted to add the leaves mm-hmm. For Ivy, it would be hard on a bathing suit. On a
yes.
bunny suit, this is, you know, a woven, not a stretch fabric.
Yep.
It'll be fitted so you can hot glue leaves till the day is done.
I will make a note on mm-hmm. hot gluing the leaves. Yeah. If you get, and unfortunately, they look the most amazing and they're beautiful, the wax leaves.
Yes.
They look awesome, but if you don't have the time to properly adhere them,
yeah.
they're going to peel right off.
Yeah, I actually would recommend E6000. Right
yeah,
is kind of what,
yeah,
is
what
I suggest for everyone. Which is very toxic and amazing. And it's shoe glue.
Can you buy barge in
You can buy it in giant tins.
Yep. Or, okay.
At like Foam Mart. And then there's a Kit Craft, small little mm-hmm. independent craft store in Studio City.
Mm, nice.
They sell a small tube of it that's toolene free because toolene is the toxin that's
right.
in it.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Just in a small yeah. tube, but mm-hmm. it is the glue of all glue.
That's yeah. cool. Yeah, I tend to go to E6000 for my
go-to. I love
the yeah. barge. Yeah. That's awesome.
I had a bus driver in fifth grade glue a hubcap back with E6000.
That's fantastic.
And since then, I was like, that will be the glue.
I mean, if I need
the
instant satisfaction or gratification, I'll use the E6000 between, and then I'll set it with hot glue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then I'll just go about my
and
day.
I will say this, I never use hot glue because living and starting cosplay in Florida, if it gets too hot, the stuff just melts right off.
Melts yeah. right off.
So
yeah.
I mean, really invest the time into something. But if you're doing like, it's the night of the con and you're trying to glue those, just get away and throw some hot glue on and fix it later. But the bunny suit pattern will definitely hold up. And you can actually go pick up Jessie's bunny suit pattern at gumroad.com/rufflebutt. It's only $15.
Oh, awesome.
And it offers, she has a wide variety of sizes, so you can get either the extra small to medium or the medium to extra large sizes. And it's really great. It's very self-explanatory. And Jessie also has tutorials on her page that kind of walk through the process of making it. She's an extremely helpful cosplayer. I've been a huge fan of hers for many years, and it's really great that she's out here doing stuff to help people. So I really recommend that for a bunny suit for a lot of things. Now, for the boots for Ivy, if you're having a hard time finding green boots, which some people are, I love, love, love Angelus leather paint. It's actually a paint meant for shoes, specifically canvas, faux leather, and leather. You can't really paint like shiny vinyl with it, but you can pick that up anywhere online, and you can see they have a huge array of colors.
Yeah.
This is just a portion.
You can actually buy a whole set of it for like $25 on Amazon.
Yeah,
their little sample starter kit. It's awesome.
Yeah. But even those bottle sizes right there, I think, are $3.75, and the larger ones, like the 6 ounces, are like $7 or $8.
Yeah, it's not expensive.
No. And I've used it on so many projects. Like my roommate did Robin, and she painted her black docks like that dark green that's down there.
Nice.
Nice.
And it's really great. The only thing is they don't really have like a metallic sheen line.
Yeah.
New Life might.
New Life does have the shiny one. Yeah. New Life is awesome.
Another
also.
Leather
yeah.
She paint.
Yeah. But New Life I found is a little harder to come by these days.
It is, and even though I do think you're right, I believe they still have a metallic sheen one. Mm-hmm. There. Their color selection, I find, is getting super limited.
But there is an option. This is from a company called Jacquard. It's their Lumiere paint. And you can actually get this at Joann's or any craft store. I've seen it at like Dick Blick and Sam Flax. And I've actually used this. While it's an acrylic-based paint, you can use this on flexible materials like leathers and fabric. I mean, it's meant for fabric. And they have dyes and everything. And I actually ended up using it on both EVA foam props and leather. And this photo it's not anything superhero. It's Umi and Fu from Magic Mag Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
But all of the corsets that I'm in the blue and my friend Lindsay's in the green, that those were leather. That's actual like veggie tan leather painted. And then all the armor bits are the EVA foam. And that's using that Jacquard Lumiere paint. So you can see it gets a really nice pearlescence. Yeah. And really if you need to darken colors, or because there's only like maybe 10 colors in it, I've actually mixed it with the Angelus paint to have a little bit of pearl. You can get the white pearlescent and mix it in to add some sheen if you want. So, this goes on really well with a paintbrush. It doesn't really streak. I've tried to airbrush with it and it's too thick and it clogs up the airbrush. But just make sure you get a really, really good bristle brush. Nothing too stiff because that will leave streaks. Yeah.
Or even the sponges.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a big fan of the spongy brushes.
Love them. They're wonderful. Now for gloves, you can make them. Warning, pain in the butt. Yeah. I like to buy mine on eBay or Amazon. You can really find cheap matte gloves that you can paint easily. But if you do want to make some, Vogue makes a really good pattern. It's 8311. It's my go-to glove pattern. This is actually meant for like non-stretch material. So if you're trying to make like a structured glove, this is a really good basis. And also the other thing about Ivy, she's kind of known for her green skin. And
body paint.
Yeah, body paint. So what would you say, resident body paint master?
Well, there's three different recommendations. You can, it depends on, are you going to be in it all day? Is it Hotlanta outside? Are you just doing editorial photo work with it? I would always recommend, if you're not going to be in it for a long time and you're just taking some photos, because you can fix it in Photoshop, water base, so it comes off easier. And like aqua color is really great. Ben Nye's got the aqua paints. Aqua color is an actual brand. European Body Art is probably my favorite airbrushing body paint, and it smells like candy. That comes in an alcohol based and a water based. Temptu makes a silicone alcohol and water based paint. And it just really depends. PAX paint is another one. PAX paint is basically prosade mixed with acrylic paint. It's just it's so impossible to get off. And I actually did worked with Blizzard at PAX East just a few months ago, and we did all of their Overwatch, a few Overwatch characters, and Widowmaker was all blue, and I PAXed her every day, and then it took me like forever to take it off the last day. So just be mindful of what is going on your skin, how the removing process is different for all of them. I love airbrush. Everyone loves airbrushing it. It just looks so flawless. It looks so perfect. The only thing that girls forget to notice is, or forget until it happens, is that it covers every hair on your body. So every little bit of your peach fuzz, though you don't see it in photographs, you're not going to see it. You see it and you're like, oh my God, I'm a werewolf. You know what I mean? And just be mindful that it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. I have a question. Have you ever worked with the Vargas Kabuki brush to do all over body paint?
Just a Kabuki brush?
Well, Vargas, who's the son of, like, the pinup artist, or grandson, he developed a Kabuki brush line for body painting, and it's really good for an all-over base application.
I have done paints with metallics on people
It's like a $30 brush, but I found if I'm doing like Mystique or Poison Ivy, because I don't always have access to an airbrush.
I don't always recommend airbrushing. I don't like it so much on the face.
Luminesce has a deal right now where you can get a full airbrushed kit for under $100.
That's awesome.
Those are cool. But if it's for personal, your own kind of use, I wouldn't go. Like, I have literally six brushes. Different air guns in my kit.
Right.
I mean, exactly. Iwata is probably my favorite airbrush, and there's a very inexpensive, you can get on Amazon brand called Masters, and they have compressors and they have all that. But realistically, if you're not doing your whole body and you want to do it yourself, I would just sponge paint on. Cream based, which look nice because it almost looks like it's your skin and doesn't have a powdery look.
I'll have to see about getting the Kabuki to sample. Random fact about me, I was a body paint model, like competition wise, for many years. I've done Fabiac and a lot of the big shows.
That's awesome. Where are those pictures?
They can't be shown on the internet because
I'm not wearing
any clothes.
I've never hurt anybody.
Yeah. But it's really, and I've gotten to work with like some of the world's best like competition body, like Pasher and Nick Herrera, who was on Face Off, Andrea O'Donnell, who created the stencils, the really cool stencils. I'm sure you've seen them too. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned them to you. All these guys are fantastic, and you need to go to these shows. They're awesome, Chrissy. We need to hook you up.
I don't want to specialize in just body paint. Yeah, but someone needs it.
But it's fun to go
too, just for the shopping. Yeah. Let's be honest.
I mean,
shopping.
More of a wig style. So.
Just before we move on from Poison Ivy, Gwen was asking how we would suggest going about making Ivy's newer costume, the black one that has the leaves up the center. And James B. in the chat actually answered that that looks like it would be a good kind of spandex suit. And
it would be.
Absolutely right.
Sub-dye. Actually, there's a couple companies out there that offer that, like, sub-dye, so you can buy it already pre-printed out on the fabric that you cut out and
just sew.
And sew. Yeah. I would just look up, like, New 52 Poison Ivy sub-dye sale.
If I were entering the New 52 Poison Ivy into some sort of body paint competition, I would probably do airbrush and latex paints. Just because it'd be, like, skin, like, right on her.
Yeah,
like,
that would be fantastic.
Yes.
Okay. Wow, so we've covered so much out of us.
I'll talk fast.
Okay. We're going to head on over to the Birds of Prey.
Yes.
We've got some Batgirl and Black Canary action.
Yes, so Batgirl, interestingly enough, Elena, it was funny that you brought up that there was originally going to be a Harley Quinn, and then they just axed her, because before the Batgirl, we all know, there was another Batgirl. There was a lot of criticism of the Batman comic that Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson were gay lovers, so they're like, oh, we need to put in some lady characters. So they decided to create these two characters, Batwoman and Batgirl, and they had hyphenated names. Eventually, those characters were completely retconned out. But in the 1960s, when the Batman television series was going on, the producer of the Batman show, William Dozier, went to Julius Schwartz, who was the editor of Batman at the time, and basically said, hey, we need to create a female character to try to sell a third season to ABC. And that character was the Batgirl that we all know and love. And basically, it was apparently Dozier's idea to have her be the daughter of the chief commissioner, James Gordon. And so basically, the Batgirl that we all know and love was a creation by Carmine Infantino, who drew the original Batgirl comic, as we know. So she made her debut in Detective Comics number 359, the million-dollar debut of Batgirl. And in episode 95 of the Batman television series, enter Batgirl, exit Penguin, as portrayed by Yvonne Craig. And the thing that's interesting is that, you know, this character went on to be so popular that she almost got her own TV show.
She even, Yvonne Craig is Batgirl, even did a thing about hiring, like, upping the wage for women.
Yeah.
For
oh, she did.
It was super awesome.
Well, and the thing that was great about Barbara Gordon in the show, and I remember that part of the reason I loved this show so much as a kid was specifically because of this character, and also Eartha Kitt as Catwoman, who was Catwoman in the season that Batgirl was introduced. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, she had a PhD, she ran the library in Gotham City, and Batman and Robin didn't know who she was. It was amazing.
A real iconic hero right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I feel for women, especially, like, we had Wonder Woman and Batgirl, like, in that era to really identify.
Yeah, that. Absolutely. Yeah. So, of course, her classic suit that we saw in the 1960s TV series is very much in the ilk of that classic superheroes and spandex kind sparkly. What was the name of that sparkly fabric?
The Lorax.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, the Lorax.
Not to be confused with the Lorax.
Not to be confused with the Lorax. Which is an orange creature with fluffy trees created by Dr. Seuss. Basically, and this has been the basis for a lot of the costumes that we've seen her in throughout the years. Though, like all DC heroines, her costumes has changed. I would argue it's changed the least.
Until recently. Recent colors and minor changes.
Exactly. So basically, once again, the lovely Quixo... 3052.
The holy grail of pattern.
Is a good place to go for your starter, of course, with this one. She does have a turtleneck all the way up to her neck. Mm-hmm. And you would use pattern A for that, but you wouldn't want to do a zipper in the front, so you'd just have to modify it. Yeah. So if you have a zipper in it, it goes up the back or at the side or...
And I'll show people how to modify this to make it a back zipper versus a front zipper in a couple weeks.
Exactly. So you would obviously use that. And then, you know, depending on the fabric that you chose, you could go for, you know, if you got really, really shiny purple spandex, you got yourself a 1960s look. You could also go for sort of a duller gray is what she originally had on Batman the Animated Series, or also, and then eventually she made the transition into having a black main suit with yellow accessories. So anyway, and I think Marissa, I have some pictures of the various patterns, because of course you would also have to make the accessories for this. And actually a lot of the patterns that we brought up last week with the Batman episode have a great basis for sort of creating your cape and your mask. The Buttrick costume, I think, is a little better than the 60s Batman one, though the 60s Batman one does contain a bodysuit pattern as well. Now, in recent years, very recent years, as in last year, the character did undergo a massive redesign, and that was originally debuted in Batgirl number 35, which was published in October of last year, and she was redesigned by Babs Tarr, who intentionally created this look that looked like she could have gone to the store and bought this. She's like a viral superheroine of the modern age. She lives in Burnside, which is like the Silver Lake of Gotham. Yeah. Like, it's very trendy. If you want to go to the next image, Marissa, you can see there. That's the promo of what her costume looks like. And I actually took this off the MTV News article about it, which shows you just how trendy and cool this Batgirl is. And
live in the Silver Lake of Gotham.
I know, right? Exactly. And I think after this image, we may have one as well of the sort of breakdown of the costume. So basically the idea was that, you know, these are all things that, there it is. That's what I'm talking about, where you could go buy all these things. So she's very specific that jacket is a leather jacket. It is not spandex. And it has some snaps.
But I have a question. If she's in Burnside, would it actually be leather, or would it be
it's definitely like vinyl.
Yeah, it's faux
like
leather.
Because we know.
Free range.
This is leather from really well-treated cows. So the idea is that she has a purple leather jacket that has the bat logo in the center of it. And if you go back, Marissa, I did find, honestly, online, there are lots of purple leather vinyl jackets.
With really interesting style lines,
much like the jacket that she wears. All you would have to do is sew some snaps and shoulder pads onto the shoulders of this, much like she has in the actual costume. I know. Isn't that jacket amazing?
Somebody find me that jacket.
$50
Somebody find that to me. Let me buy it.
Faux leather.
I want that.
Faux leather. It's like $50. Look in your Google search and go to shopping results. It's there. So for this, in terms of adding the bat logo to this, it was funny that you brought up the Angelus leather paint. Yeah. So I was like, I would just paint it. I would not want to deal with trying to sew something into that also incorporates the zipper. But I mean, you could definitely make a separate
stencil.
Make a stencil and just spray paint it.
Or if you don't want to damage the jacket and the leather, you can actually get really thin rare earth magnets and like glue the magnets to the back and then put like little magnets in the inside of the jacket. Because I've done that with armor before. I've just had armor
sticks on,
touching my chest. But yes, you just stick the armor right on.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. And I mean, if I were going, you could certainly find jacket patterns to make the jacket from scratch. But as Elena has imparted upon all of us, working with leather
is garbage.
So
the only thing I've contributed to
this whole episode. If you take nothing else away from this episode.
Oh, and grommets.
Grommets and leather, don't do it.
Get ready to cry.
Grommets are fine if you have like the grommet press, but don't use the hand puncher. And then the coolest part about this costume, I think, are the boots that she wears, which are these fabulous like low wellies. These are actually a pair of Doc Martens that look exactly like the ones that she wears. Unfortunately, they seem to be completely out of stock.
Wonder why.
All those Batgirl cosplayers snatched them up.
It's a good thing there's a lot of companies that make Doc Martens.
They sure do for not nearly as much money. So yeah, these would have run you about $150, but I found some very comparable ones online. Once again, just go to your Google, type in low leather yellow lace-up boots, and things will pop up. Yeah. And you can honestly get rubber ones as well, which would be cheaper because they're supposed to be shiny looking. You can see in the images.
I feel like Babs did all this Google search for us.
I agree.
And she designed it based on the fact that, I'm going to make this easier for all the cosplayers.
Yeah.
Babs is an awesome person because, one, she's a fan, first and
foremost.
And, like, the stuff she designs is very cosplayer.
Absolutely.
And she encourages people to cosplay her work, which is super rad.
Yeah, and this is just such a fun costume. I mean, there's been such a positive reaction to this character's design, to the new direction of the series, that basically they're saying that they turned Barbara Gordon into this extremely relatable character. And then, of course, you know, the rest of the detailing on her is all mostly canvas belts and little pouches, which sort of replaced the old school utility belt.
You know, it's something too, is if you're looking for like canvas belts, you can even look at military surplus. If you get the light color canvas, you can either bleach it and dye it yellow, or, you know, so that's a cheap alternative.
Honestly, and I found like $6.40 worth of belt on Amazon. Yeah. So,
nice.
You know, it was intentionally designed to be a costume that looks like it could have been made from purchased items, and you can definitely create it from purchased items. You don't have to be an expert seamstress to really accurate. Make this costume nice. Yeah.
I still really want that jacket. I'm not going to
say it. I know. It's great.
I want the jacket, but I want it with the Batgirl.
Yes.
I would just wear it around.
Yeah. Make that. Find it, guys.
Yeah. I'm going to get that jacket, and then I'm just going to take it to a leather expert to stitch the leather Batgirl symbol onto it, because I will not touch leather again.
Yeah. We have leather experts.
Yes.
And if you can get away with not doing it yourself, find your friend who's awesome at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's impossible to be an expert at everything.
I'm an expert at avoiding leather.
And that brings us to our next bird of prey
character. Which I love, kind of going off of the whole kind of closet cosplay.
Yes.
Black Canary is one of the easiest characters to cosplay, and she's also just amazing. I love the character so much. There's actually two different versions. She's the first... kind of in this universe, she's kind of the Watchmen-esque, where she's a mother-daughter, that both of them are Black Canary. I personally am a big fan of Golden era Black Canary, and so I feel like Dinah Drake is the one that I always cosplay. Oh. This one that you're seeing on the screen, that's Dinah Lance.
Mm-hmm.
She's the daughter, and she, going off that quick sew pattern that we have with the front zipper, this is the perfect cosplay to use that for if you want to create one, is to make the Dinah Lance, because it does have that front zipper that you then just add the little circle to.
I know, I've even just here's some bodysuit patterns too. That
The quick sew 3052 for that one is perfect. But she originally debuted in 1947. Part of the reason that she's so unique too is because she is married to Larry Lance, who is Green Arrow, but they meet and she just beats the crap out of him, which is awesome. That from the beginning, she's kind of the opposite of our Poison Ivy Harley Quinn that kind of went nutso based on their romantic excursion that turned them into kind of the bad characters. But this is what shows when superhero love is all right, when it works out, you just spawn another Black Canary.
So, also ends up marrying another Green Arrow.
Yes, which is just like, all right, okay, this is getting a little Freudian, but...
What is this? These aren't Targaryens. Yeah.
Yeah. No, right?
Talk about a child with a slight Electra complex.
But it's kind of cool. If you want to go either Golden or Silver Age, pick one and, you know, pick your own Black Canary.
It's like, choose your own adventure.
But the best thing about it is that because it's so easy to cosplay, especially with Dinah Drake, you'll hear the Laurel, too, from Arrow now. Mm-hmm. That's the Silver Age one, that's Dinah Laurel Lance.
Oh,
so
yes,
that's why it's why you might not hear the Dinah now is the Laurel, because that's the middle name of the daughter. So that's the Silver Age. So do you ever hear that and you get confused? There you go.
Now we know.
Did you know that?
Now you know.
But if you want to do the Golden Age Dinah, my personal favorite, you can literally just go out and get a swimsuit. You can either make one based off these patterns, or you can just get a nice black one piece.
Well, and couldn't you even just, like, if you want a little bit harder, you could just get like a black bodysuit from the
black leotard from a dance star.
You could easily do it.
For, like, an adult store with, like, faux leather.
Yeah.
You could, definitely. Yeah. I personally, I got one of the, body shaper ones, too, because then I'm like, I can eat all the burgers, and it will hold everything in, and no one will know. Because sometimes you have the cosplay that you wear, and you're like, man, I'm wearing a crop top, but that panic dog over there looks amazing.
Feels real.
Yeah, I put off doing costumes because I like donuts way too much.
So this is a really nice one. Mm-hmm. If you want to, you know, have it look nice, but also I think we have a picture, too, of me with one of the Green Arrow cosplayers that I ran into. Do we have it?
It's there somewhere. Keep talking.
Somehow a lot of photos.
Thank you, Marissa. You're amazing.
Over best corset.
Yeah, you can do it with a corset. You can. This one has a lot of flexibility to it. Go up to that one. Yeah. There we go. So if you look close, yeah, you'll see it's literally just a swimsuit, fishnets, a pair of comfy boots with some Dr. Scholl inserts. If you're going to be walking around a lot, those are nice ones. And then it's just a jacket that I found that I cut and cropped. You can also make your own crop jacket. And then really the fingerless gloves, those I bought because these are ones that I made. And you can see that after you carry stuff around for a while, then the seams can kind of break a little bit. Just get reflector tape, either yellow reflector tape, or if you're really just, it's going to be seen from far away, you can get yellow electrical tape and just stick it right on. Yeah. You can stick them on your boots too. And then it's just the two lines, same thing, put it right over the center of the choker. Boom, boom, boom.
Done. That's fantastic.
Done cosplay.
And if you're blonde, you get to use your own hair, right?
Yeah, if you're blonde, you can use your own hair. If you have bangs, just go with the center zip, and there you go. You can be Lance. If you don't have bangs, then
That's fantastic. I love this, too, because we're getting to cover a little bit of, like, how to make and how to pull together, and I think that's an important thing, because cosplay at the end is about fun.
Yeah. Yes. Don't let it intimidate you guys.
Yeah. But wear socks underneath your fishnets, because eventually you're just like, I can feel my toe.
Yeah. Well, also, so funny thing about fishnets and walking around all day, if you don't wear socks, your feet will swell, and then they'll swell really awkwardly, like a really exotic ham that's about injected
right if you're
juices.
Yeah if you're wearing fish that's with them
but there's nothing sexier than being compared to an exotic ham.
I mean I was the Christmas ham. I'm comparing other people's feet to exotic ham, so.
I mean, I'll take it.
I know.
All right. Well, moving on to more of our girl characters.
Our last two.
But first, a quick word from our sponsors. So we want to tell you guys about something really cool and exciting. You can now apply to Dance Battle America, ABC's newest competition special. From our very own AfterBuzz founder and E-host Maria Menounos and Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars comes ABC's special Dance Battle America. During the holiday seasons over the last 2 years, Julianne and Maria have engaged in a fearsome dance battle via social media. Once the challenge took off, celebrities like Kate Hudson and Amber Riley joined in, and a dance battle craze was born. Now the ladies are challenging everyone in America to battle it out for the chance to fly to Los Angeles to compete and dance on the show. So here is how you should do that. You should go over to www.dancebattleamericacasting.com for more info on how to submit your video. And don't forget to also post it on your social media using hashtag dancebattleABC. That's hashtag dancebattleABC. Put it all together with one of these things in front of it.
I was doing interpretive dance.
Yes, I really enjoyed that. Yeah, you would win dance battle.
I'm done. Sorry, guys.
It's over. Don't apply. Meredith is the winner.
I can't dance.
So Supergirl is the next character we're going to talk about. I want to touch on her quickly since we do have the new Supergirl series that is coming out, much like Batgirl. There was a previous, there were several previous predecessors to Supergirl, but the one that we know and love, Kara Zor-El, she first appeared in Action Comics number 252, written by Otto Binder and designed by Al Pastino. Her costume has undergone a bunch of different variations, but most of them stick very much to that sort of skater costume, if you will. So a really great pattern. Once again, we're going back to the Quixo 3502. If you wanted to do a variation on that, you do also have the Quixo 3272. Both of these are great skater costumes, and the thing that's great is they have these super short skirts on them, but they have that little like leotard bit built into them, so you're not flashing everybody all day. And what's nice is that, you know, you really can. You just make this costume out of spandex, any kind of nice stretchy material, so it's nice and comfortable to wear. And then, you know, the biggest thing is you gotta create that logo, that emblem in the center.
And so, for doing the emblem, what I found, if you're making it from spandex, or even, like, this is one of those, if you're going with the midriff Supergirl, you can get, like, a circle skirt and, like a crop-up, a long-sleeve shirt. But if you want to make that logo, you go ahead and get some, you know, you can do spandex or you can do woven fabric, and get what's called Wonder Under or Ultra Heat and Bond. And what that is a double-sided adhesive. And I think we've talked about it before. It's for applique use. Go ahead, print out the different levels. You can just Google Superman symbol.
Totally.
The internet, print it out, cut, iron on the Wonder Under to every layer, so you iron on to the the gold and the red, mm-hmm. and then cut it out once it's ironed on because it'll keep the fabric from fraying.
Yes, it's amazing. You don't, because I recently used some heat bond to create some decorations on an underskirt piece I was making for a Fire Emblem cosplay. Yeah. But and what was great was that I was working with this super fray fabric, mm-hmm. and because I used the heat bond to create the, you know, the interior design portions of it, I didn't even seam them. I just cut it.
Yep.
You get a nice smooth edge. It's really easy to work with, because what you can do is actually, once you've got, you're trying to make your like basic mm-hmm. template, you can flip it over and just make sure that you make it in reverse.
Yep.
I learned that the hard way.
Mirror the image.
Yes.
Again, flip it and reverse it.
Mirror the image. And because the back portion of it is paper, so you can just draw right on it, cut it out,
and then
iron it on.
Yeah, use a wet press cloth and iron on it. It sucks. With my Supergirl, I had it for years and it never came off.
Yeah.
I find if I'm using like metallic fabrics or something, like say I'm using Dark Phoenix, I do a top stitch close to the edge.
Yes. I consider doing a top stitch, and I may go back and add it at some point.
You don't have to right away until it starts to fall off. It works really well. And I even laundered my Supergirl.
Oh, I love
fine,
it.
So
it's great.
Yeah, nice. Wonder Under is your best friend.
Yes. And also, McCall's does make this 7001 pattern, which is just your sort of generic hero girl pattern, but there's some good ideas in there for creating belts and also for doing capes. I just want to touch really quickly on the animated series Supergirl, which is the midriff bearing one, just because it is, once again, it's a really easy costume to closet cosplay, because very much like anything that's Batman, mm-hmm. all you need to do is have that Superman logo and people know who you are. You have the Bat logo, people know you're a Batman thing. You have the Superman logo, you're related to the Superman family. And that costume was literally a white t-shirt, a cropped mm-hmm. white t-shirt, a blue skirt, a black headband, a Superman logo, and, a cape mm-hmm. and little white gloves that you can buy.
And the boots. The boots are so cute.
Yeah, they're really cute. They're almost like the Batgirl boots, but just red,
not
yellow.
Like, almost like higher Doc Martens.
Yeah.
So
this is another character that has gone mm-hmm. undergone many, many different iterations. And actually, if you guys have seen the extended trailer on for the CBS series Supergirl, there's a very funny bit in it where she's trying out a bunch of different costumes, and they actually do give a little nod to that midriff bearing costume from the animated series that carried over into some of the comics as well.
I think it's really cute. Now, like I said, we couldn't cover all of the wonderful women that DC Comics has to offer. Like, in fact, we didn't even get to talk about Zatanna, which Chrissy is dressed as. But we can't end the show without talking about
the goddess.
The literal goddess.
Really, guys.
Yeah. She's the goddess. I mean, we're not just like making things up here. Wonder Woman. The Amazon Princess is by far DC's most iconic female superhero, if not one of the most iconic. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's part of the Trinity. She's part of the Holy mm-hmm. Three. She's undergone some pretty drastic costume changes throughout the years, but it's really hard to mess with an icon. And Princess Diana is most known for one popular look, and this is a variation. This is actually done by artist Alex Ross, who has done some of the best art for comics. Do we have a good comment real quick?
Oh, yeah. We've got people joining us in the chat, and there are votes for me to cosplay Power Girl.
Okay.
So,
which
I've been told before.
I've been told that too, and I don't like Power Girl.
We can make this happen. Now, to create this more classic Wonder Woman costume, a lot of women that I've talked to have done this. They actually end up buying like a white bustier, kind of like a structure, like a finished garment. Like, this is a bridal bustier from, you know, David's Bridal or Fredericks or whatever. And they'll cover it with red spandex. Because what this does is this creates a structured garment without them like style lines. Because a lot of times with Wonder Woman, she doesn't have distinct style lines like you'd see in a corset.
Yeah.
So this is more like a foam made garment that you can get for like anywhere from $50 to $60, and you can just hand sew, like stretch spandex over and hand sew. Cosplayer Margie, who a lot of people on the East Coast know, that's how she first did it, like 10 years ago. She showed me, it was amazing. And you could do some other things. You know, you could obviously get like a corset if you want a more structured look. I recently saw Kathy of God Save the Queen Fashions, who's a costume designer. She did for a client an actual leather bunny suit, full one-piece Wonder Woman.
Wow.
So it was the red, the blue, all leather, all sewn in together. It was fantastic, but that is like... that's even out of my range. Now, for the bottoms, the blue briefs, you can always pick up that white and blue, the white star blue spandex. Mm-hmm. It's kind of ubiquitous. You find it everywhere. And there's this great McCall's pattern, 5400. That's just a basic bikini bottom. If you want to do high rise, just add a couple inches to the top so you can get a more...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Just got a party in here.
So
nice.
I'm excited. Really easy to do. Now, the armor is where things get a bit tricky. I know some cosplayers I've spoken to even, like, talk about how they have their own blacksmiths who make their Wonder Woman armor.
That's just crazy.
And that's fantastic.
It's wonderful.
I don't. I just can't go down the street and be like, hey, Tony, make me some Wonder Woman armor.
I mean, some people like foam. Some people like thermoplastics.
Exactly. Yeah, I love foam.
Foam is great. I would actually say if you ever want to try Warbla or Wonderflex.
Yep, or Syntra.
Or Syntra, this would be a really good start. Now, Warbla is kind of like the hot thing that all the cosplayers have been using for the last couple of years. You can actually get it at cosplaysupplies.com. It's a heat moldable thermoplastic, and if you have a body form, it makes it really easy to mold over. And actually, this is from the official Warbler website. There's a girl who shows how she made her Wonder Woman armor on it. So, really awesome tutorial. If you go to Warbler.com, you can find it right there. I've even known people have used fake leather and PVC to, you know, especially if it's like a
wrapping.
Or just to, like, Kristen Carr, who we'll have on next week, she does a lot of stuff with, like, a faux leather for armor bits, and I'll have her talk a little bit about that process. Now, the boots are actually the easiest because a couple of companies make Wonder Woman boots. You can do the gold variant or the shiny PVC, and they'll run you anywhere from $40 to $75, depending on where you're buying them from. But this way you don't have to make boot covers, and you can get something that's already out there and really comfortable. You have the lower heel or the higher heel. So both of them are, it's pretty awesome. It's surprisingly an easy costume to put together. I would actually say the only thing that's kept me from doing Wonder Woman is the body. It's a costume I feel like I'd have to work out, and you have to look the part. Because I will never look as good as Linda Carter.
Oh, shush.
I know. But look at her.
She's incredible.
This is my Wonder Woman.
I love
always.
Her.
And this is a great thing if you wanted to do a more cartoony spandex look. You could kind of, you know, do like a red bathing suit with like a gold vinyl or even gold fabric on top. And, you know, for the bracers and stuff, hit that up on Etsy. There are a lot of people who make those. If you want to make them yourself, you can make them out of foamies. You can make them out of, you know, just buy gold bangles. It's really an easy costume.
Her lasso is also very
How would you do the lasso?
I would probably, you can find cord or, and I wouldn't use rope per se, but cord. Trim cord.
You can buy cord at the fabric store.
It's already gold. It's ready to go. If you really want to get crazy metallic, use an acrylic spray paint.
My favorite that I've seen was a Wonder Woman that had the gold cord, but they had dipped it in clear glow-in-the-dark paint.
What?
So when they walked out at night, it was her lasso of truth that literally radiated when she went to the party. And
that's
this is amazing.
Man.
It's
so fantastic.
She's like, yeah, I just dipped it in clear paint. And just
oh, my God. Well,
that's amazing.
That's so beautiful. Holocon after parties.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, I was drunk, so I was like, you're the party thing.
And of course, we'll talk about the new Wonder Woman costume for the Batman versus Superman film later this year when we do an episode dedicated to this. But, you know, one of the things I really liked about it is more armor related. Mm-hmm. But I really like the little leather strips on her skirt. I really like those. And you don't have to sew them. You can just cut them.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. But we'll definitely get more to that later on this year. Wow. Guys.
We covered a lot of ground here.
Okay, we've got a couple things before we go. We got some amazing fan submissions this week, so we just want to give a shout out to Tatiana in her Huntress costume.
Yes.
We mentioned the Balint Catwoman. This is Belle Cher in that classic Balint Catwoman. I believe she's wearing a
reason.
So good.
We have Brittany as Black Canary. We have a little Black Canary edition. I hope, did that get in there?
It might be further up.
All right. Then we have Daisy Victoria in her Wonder Woman design. It's a classic take, or it's an alternate take.
Cute.
And then we have Eric Casuet as the Penguin. Amazing. Fire Lily as Donna Troy, another character we didn't get to talk about. We've got Michael Huffman as Superman. And is that the Superman Returns suit?
Yes.
No.
Man of Steel.
Yep, I was going to say, it looks like Man of Steel.
And that cloak. Crap, that cloak. Then we've got Katie. This is Katie from Heroes of Cosplay. Katie as the Injustice Wonder Woman. She used Warbler for all her armor bits. And Phoebe as Woman.
I added one on the end too. That's my friend Kelby as Supergirl. Her soon to be husband Sam McClellan actually made that Supergirl costume for her as a surprise.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Couple cosplay together, the cutest.
Yeah, they're adorable.
Right. So before we leave, we want to announce our big giveaway all month long as we journey down the road to Comic-Con. We are going to start taking submissions for our McCall's Cosplay Challenge.
Woohoo!
Cosplay Coach, we're going to be live at San Diego Comic-Con, and we want you to show us your best costume. And don't worry, if you can't make it out to Comic-Con, we're going to be also hosting a virtual version of this contest on the same week. So, here's the challenge. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it.
I was born ready.
The challenge is to create an original design based on your favorite character. And I we should have a picture. Chrissy Lynn, Steampunk Catwoman in the Steampunk group, is a great idea of what to do if you're looking for an idea.
It's at the very beginning of the photos, I think, Marissa, with our Chrissy Lynn collection when we were introing her.
Let's see here. Oh, right there. Yep.
That's the one. So, get it.
Chrissy, tell us a little bit about this costume here.
It was hours of blood, sweat, and tears.
It looks like there's leather involved.
There's post-apocalyptic diesel punk, steampunk, which you guys talked about in the Mad Max episode. I took my two favorite things. In case you don't notice, I love steampunk. So I have my gear tattoos, and I love Catwoman in the DC universe. And we created this huge DC steampunk cosplay group, and I basically found everything. Everything was modified. I did hand-stitch all the panels of suede and leather on a pre-existing overbust. That was a leather jacket that I turned into a crop top. I modded it. I added all the hardware. I made the goggles. I hand-stitched this. This was made from leather pants.
Oh, my God.
Oh, nice!
And the goggles were just modded welder's goggles you can get on Amazon. I don't use a sewing machine. I hand stitched, so it takes a lot longer.
Fantastic.
But I did the little knee highs, and then of course the pants and the belt, everything.
Well, it's wonderful, and this is a great idea that you can take a character that you love and put your own spin on it, and that's what we want you guys to do. We're going to be filming the Cosplay Coach live at Comic-Con. We'll have details about when and where a little bit closer to the date. But we're going to start taking video submissions as soon as now. Just put together a costume featuring an original take on your favorite character from pop culture. You can sew it up yourself or create something from the closet or merge everything together. Go to the thrift store. And send us a photo of two and a video of you in the costume telling us who you are and why, what cosplay means to you. And we'll post all the videos online, and we're going to announce the top three winners at Comic-Con. Now, of course, we'll have, same thing, you can just, if you're at Comic-Con, we'll have you come and join us. But the key is get those video submissions in and send us a couple photos with who you are and what cosplay means to you. Now, in the meantime, for this week, we're going to be giving away some patterns that McCall's has sent us. To get you guys started on this road, we have an array of vintage style patterns that if you've seen, DC has the Bombshell line that's come out. It's like the 1940s pinup style. We're going to be giving away two sets of patterns to two winners next week. All you have to do is send us work in progress or a sketch of what your original costume is going to be, and we will put those to vote, and we will give out these patterns live on there next week. So everyone get to crafting, because we got them on. Once again, I want to thank Miss Chrissy Lynn for joining us. Where can people find you, Chrissy?
My Instagram is the most interesting, and it's at Miss Chrissy Lynn with one N. So it's MissChrissyLyn, and then of course the same three words on Facebook and Twitter.
Awesome. Cool. And then we'll be back next week. We're going to be doing the new wave of Disney princesses. Merida, Anna, Rapunzel, Tiana, Elsa, the whole gang. We're going to have special guest Kristen Carr. She's going to be making a springtime Elsa and showing us how it's done. Also, guys, don't forget to subscribe, write, comment, tell a friend, give us those thumbs up on YouTube, and tweet at us. Alana, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan or on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
And you can find me on Twitter at Emma Fife and also on Instagram at Emma Fife. Just follow me on social media. You'll know about everything I'm doing.
And guys, you can find me, as always, at M Placco across the board. I will be busy sewing many a things this week, so stay tuned. And, we'll see you next week.
Bye!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.